From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Filling in for Carl Castle, I'm Korva Coleman. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. You're too kind. It's good to be back. Good to be back in this saddle. We need to start this week's show with a little clarification. Last week, what with the birds falling out of the sky and Snooki writing a book, we made a joke that the apocalypse was upon us and that this might be the last Wait, Wait. Now, a lot of people wrote in worried that we were actually going off the air. Okay, five of you wrote in, but we're sure many more of you were too upset to type. Rest assured, when the rapture does come, we at Wait, Wait will most definitely be left behind. You guys are all among the saved, we're sure, so you better call in now. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Abel Salazar from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, how are things in L.A.?
Pretty good.
You had to think about it.
Well, I'm underneath the desk right now, so everything's a little weird right now.
I'm sorry, did you say you're underneath your desk?
Yeah, I'm at work, so...
Is there an earthquake happening?
Yeah.
Birds are falling.
Yes. Yeah.
Snooki's falling.
Something. So why are you underneath your desk?
Because I work at a studio where it's kind of an open environment to promote friendship and all that jazz. So,
yeah. Are you afraid that you'll be interrupted or caught?
I don't know.
He's afraid that they're going to find out that he is actually listening to Wait, Wait.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what it is.
Abel, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a comedian and the founder of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, Mr. Maz Jobrani, right there.
Hey, Abel.
Hey, welcome.
Next is the woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, and the author of the memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville. Ms. Amy Dickinson is right here.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Abel.
And lastly, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hey, Mo.
Hi, Abel. They can still hear you.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm just looking weird now, but...
All right.
I've gone too far.
Abel, you're going to play Who's Korva this time. Korva Coleman, filling in for Carl, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Here is your first quote.
When we take up our arms, we're talking about voting.
That was somebody explaining that she had nothing to do with inciting political violence. Who?
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, indeed, yes. Very good. It was a week of tragedy as the nation turned its eyes to Sarah Palin and said, "Are you okay?"
She gets involved in every story, and it's not entirely her fault. America is obsessed with her.
Well,
she's like,
I mean.
She's like our collective ex-girlfriend, and we just can't.
That's true. We can't stop thinking.
Yeah, I know. In this case, the controversy was caused by the map that Ms. Palin put out some time ago featuring snipers' crosshairs over Democratic congressional districts, including the one held by Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Palin's aides said it, and this is true, they said this, they said it wasn't a crosshairs, it was just a surveyor's mark. You know, the harmless kind of thing you see when you look through a surveyor's scope at your prey as you prepare to brutally survey it.
What is it? Is Sarah Palin the cartographer? What is
I
this?
Don't know.
I'm not happy with the way Arizona has been mapped.
Therefore, we shall survey it. Finally, Ms. Palin released a long video statement in which she referred to the, quote, blood libel against her. Now, she may not have known this, to be fair, but this is a loaded phrase, blood libel. It refers to, among other things, the idea that the Jews murdered Jesus. Of course, the Jews did not murder Jesus, but they did put up a map of Judea on the internet with the crosshairs over Bethlehem.
I had never heard the phrase blood libel, because that's not like a phrase you hear that often, like used in advertisements or no.
I thought it was boring Cormac McCarthy novel.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote, Abel.
No special features, just a simple bleeping phone. Big freaking whoop.
That was an AT&T customer service rep, probably now a former AT&T customer service rep, tweeting about the announcement this week that what would be available finally on Verizon?
The iPhone.
Yes. It's so exciting, the iPhone. It's the most exciting thing to happen to the whiny affluent class since Whole Foods started offering gluten-free baguettes. For years, iPhone users have complained about the poor service they got from AT&T, the only carrier available. Listening to them complain, it was like AT&T started World War II, invented trans fats, and canceled Freaks and Geeks. The people of Haiti, commemorating the anniversary of their devastating earthquake, sent a celebratory message saying, "We're thrilled that you no longer will face the horror of dropped calls." But Verizon is all excited about this because they don't know what's coming. Oh, you thought you had a whiny, perennially dissatisfied customer base before, did you, Verizon? Their slogan will change from "Can you hear me now?" to "There, are you happy now?"
You know what the problem with all these phones is? Because they're constantly being reminded, you got a message. Yeah. A lot of times, not important messages.
Certainly
it's
not.
Like having a mailman follow you around all day. I just constantly be like, oh, I forgot to give you this. Go ahead, read it. Right?
The problem with your analogy is that all of us guys who do this, if we could, we'd follow the mailman around ourselves going, got anything for me?
Yeah.
Got anything for me now? Did anything just come in?
Yeah.
No, Mr. Sagal, nothing came in. No, how about now?
Yeah.
Stop following me! That got me in trouble before I got the iPhone, so I'm happy for
that.
All right, your last quotes, Abel, are three names given to a big event this week.
Snowpocalypse? Snowmageddon? Snotorious B.I.G.?
Those were just some of the words used by Twitterers and newscasters to describe the big snow where?
New York City?
Well, actually, yes, but the answer we were looking for was everywhere. Everywhere. For a brief period this week, every single state of the Union, including Hawaii, had snow on the ground.
Is that true?
This is true. Every single state except for Florida. It was the lone exception. But just to be safe, the elderly Jews who live there moved further south to Cuba. Because they've had enough.
That is such a cool statistic. I'm so glad that Puerto Rico doesn't have statehood, because it would have ruined
it.
It would have really screwed that up.
But even Hawaii had some snow on the peaks of the volcanoes. Texas saw all the snow, and they tried to build a wall to keep it out. Cities that aren't used to snow, like Atlanta, completely freaked out. They looked out, saw everything covered with snow, and called their cable providers to complain that the windows were only broadcasting in black and white.
Oh.
By the way, the real reason Florida didn't get any snow is the U.S. Supreme Court intervened to stop it. Korva, how did Abel do in our quiz?
Well, being under the desk worked. Abel, you had a perfect score, 3 out of 3, and you'll win the prize.
Well done. Congratulations, Abel.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for playing. You can come out from under the desk now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Maz, after the events in Arizona last weekend, many are stepping up to make sure our lawmakers in Washington are safe. Representative Dan Burton, Republican of Indiana, has a plan to make sure our Congress people are protected. What is it?
More security?
More security of a particular kind.
Armed?
No. It's more of a... It's sort of like the boy in the bubble, except now it's lots of white guys in a bubble.
Put them behind bulletproof vests and glass and glassy, vesty-looking...
Glassy. Well, somewhere in there you said it. What he wants to do is he wants to encase the House chambers in a plexiglass bubble.
Mm.
As the old saying goes, if it's good enough for the liquor store on 125th Street, it's good enough for the House of Representatives.
An actual dome?
Well, not so much a dome, but I believe the idea is, you know, you go into the House chambers and there's the viewing thing,
yeah.
And then there's the chambers. They want to put up a plexiglass wall between the viewing area and the actual chambers.
Isn't that like a sneeze guard?
Yeah.
A giant sneeze guard.
Think of the House of Representatives as a giant buffet. Now, some say the move is impractical. It'll constrict the legislative activities, but Burton says congressmen will still be able to move freely around Washington via a series of interconnected clear plastic tubes.
Like mole rats at the zoo.
Exactly. The congressional habitat.
Yeah, and they'll be able to keep trim on the legislator wheel. Caretakers will have to be cautious when they change the bedding of wood shavings, though, not to pick up Dennis Kucinich and throw him out with it.
Oh.
No, he likes to burrow. He does.
He does. He's a burrower.
It's like a congress sphere. They're terrible. They all suffocated. Yeah, they have to remember to ventilate it.
All that hot air.
You can only take the congressman home, Timmy, if you remember to punch holes in the shoebox. Yeah.
Well, it looked like a giant snow globe.
You do want to shake it, don't you?
You do.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Amy Groff from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm glad to hear it. What do you do there in Indianapolis?
I'm a former civil engineer turned domestic engineer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And do you find that your experience in civil engineering helps you with the challenges of home life?
I'm just dealing with the poo at a different source.
I understand. Amy, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Corva, what is Amy's topic?
Snacks. They're not just for making you fat.
Our snacks do so much for us. They expand our waists and give our breath that fresh, cool ranch scent. But they have the potential to do so much more. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about people finding new uses for snack foods, only one of which is true. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I sure am.
First, let's hear from Amy Dickinson.
Anybody who has ever buried her face into a bag of Cheetos, something, of course, I've never done, knows the cheesy food snack is the perfect cure for just about any ailment. But now, thanks to an enterprising young woman with way too much time on her hands, we know that Cheetos can also cure the worst malady of all, pale, colorless, and lifeless lips. Gwendolyn Gallagher explains, "So I lost my job, and I'm like, you know, hitting the Cheetos pretty hard, and I had this orange gunk all over my lips, and I couldn't get it out for like 3 days or something. I went to a club, and my friends kept asking to borrow my lip gloss. So I'm thinking, hey, if I could turn this staining crap into long-lasting lip color, I'd make lots and lots of people happy. I mean, it beats coloring your lips with a Sharpie, right?" Frito-Lay would not provide her with a secret recipe for Cheetos, so she has made her cosmetics the old-fashioned way, one crushed-up bag of snack chips at a time. She mixes the orange powder with melted jelly beans for her Don't Give Me No Lip lip gloss. The leftover powder is perfect for the matching eyeshadow.
Cheeto powder becomes an attractive lip gloss. Your next story of an off-label snack use comes from Maz Jobrani.
When Chicago handyman Peter Lechman got married, his wife agreed to take in his two cats and tolerate his love of the cubs. But she would not, under no condition, allow him to indulge in his Twinkie habit. A buddy of mine knows a guy who can get them wholesale. One weekend, we took his truck and filled up the back with Twinkies. They taste as good today as they did then. In 2006. So, his relationship hanging in the balance, Lechman went with his heart. But what to do with the leftover Twinkies stored in his garage? He found his answer while redoing his bathroom. While retiling his shower, he ran out of caulk. Squeezing out the last bit of white adhesive reminded him of another creamy white filling. And, before his wife could stop him, he broke into a case of Twinkies and started squeezing. Several boxes later, his bathroom shower was completely retiled with Twinkie filling. It was surprisingly easy. The hardest part was not licking my fingers or eating the leftover sponge cake. But I did it. I kept my vows. As word got out about Lechman's Twinkie cocked shower, he's been getting requests to do more cream and frosting repair jobs. I got a woman on the north side who's having me insulate her kitchen with Nutella. That stuff tastes great.
Twinkie cream is cock. That was a very authentic Chicago accent.
Thank you. Yeah, I just kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Not really.
Your last story of snack repurposing comes from Morocco.
Honey buns in prison. It's not what you're thinking. Inside Florida's prisons, honey buns, those indestructible mounds of glazed glop, are being used for everything, it seems. Birthday cakes, sweeteners for hooch wines, even currency. Yes, honey buns have become money buns. For bribing, for betting, one inmate paid his public defenders in honey buns after they saved him from the electric chair. Prisoners have come to blows over them. How do you kill somebody with honey buns? Force him to eat five of them. Honey buns, so much more than a nickname. As for Snowball, Ho-Ho, Ding Dong, Susie Q, and Little Debbie, they're still just nicknames.
All right. Amy, here are your choices. One of these snack foods is being repurposed from its original destiny. Was it from Amy Dickinson, how Cheeto powder is being used as lip gloss? From Maz Dobrani, how the filling in Twinkies is now an effective caulk for your plumbing jobs? Or from Mo Rocca, how honey buns are now currency and treats in the Florida prison system?
They're all interesting.
They are.
But I'm going to have to go with Mo's.
You're going to go with Mo's story.
Why?
Yep.
Mo wants to know why you're picking him.
Because the Cheeto thing is gross. And I'm just disturbed to think that Twinkies could be used as cock.
All right, your choice is Mo's story. So we spoke to someone who has a very intimate knowledge of this story.
There's one inmate that buys 10 honey buns per week. We got quite a bit of healthy food in there, but they don't buy it too much.
That was Michael Caruso. He is an inmate who runs the canteen at Zephyr Hills Correctional Institution in Florida, where he sells up to 60 honey buns a day. Congratulations, Amy. You got it right.
Excellent. Thank you.
By the way, I just want to say in passing that it's wonderful we live in a country where we can call up a prison in Florida and say, hi, we're a news quiz from NPR. We want to talk to one of your inmates about the honey buns. And they say, okay. Anyway, you have earned a point from Moraka because he was so honest, and you have earned our prize. Carl Castle recorded the greeting on your home voicemail answering machine, whatever you got. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
101 pounds of fun. That's my little honey bun. Get a load of honey bun tonight. Woo! I am caught and don't want to run, cause I'm having so much fun with honey bun.
And now the game where we invite on people who've done big things and ask them little questions. Our guest today has influenced every facet of hip-hop culture. He launched rap and hip-hop stars with his label Def Jam Recordings. He launched young comedians with Def Comedy Jam. He changed fashion with his label Fat Farm. By the time I finish this intro, he probably will have started a car company and built an amusement park. His new book is Super Rich. Russell Simmons, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Wow.
Let's talk about the book. The book is called Super Rich. And you are, as everybody knows, pretty wealthy from all your success and all your various things. But you say in the book that the rich you're talking about is not monetary wealth.
No, not at all. I think when you're very dedicated to something and you engage fully, you become a giver. And the book is about learning to make people more productive or promoting to people that, you know, waking up and deciding on what you want to give is a great practice as opposed to waking up and deciding what you're going to get. That's where you really find your focus or you tune out the noise.
Right, you write about meditation in the book. You're an enthusiast of meditation. One of the things you write about that I thought was interesting was before you got into more formal forms of meditation, you used to do something different in your early days to sort of relax. You write about how you used to go to the steam baths.
the Russian bath, yeah.
And you did business meetings?
I still go there.
You used to do business meetings at the Russian baths in New York?
Is that the one on 10th Street?
That's correct.
So you'd be in there, you'd tell people, well, meet me down on 10th Street, and you'd be sitting there inside the Russian baths in a sauna with a towel around and do business meetings?
Yeah, that's not so odd. I've seen that in movies.
Usually in movies, the people I've seen in movies having meetings in the Russian baths are mobsters.
But I used to fancy myself a bit of a mobster.
You started, I think, not uncharitably, from nothing. You were a guy growing up in New York in Queens, was it? And,
yes.
And you ended up... Well, I want to describe accurately the role you play in the world of hip-hop. You didn't invent it. You're not a singer or performer yourself, but you're kind of like... You're like the Bill Gates of hip-hop. You took it and made it available to everybody. Is that about right?
Well, I was there at a company. I signed everybody from Jay-Z to Run-DMC and LL. I watched a lot happen, and I was very fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of very talented people.
Yeah.
So that's been my role, and also my role has been, I think, to get them to use their celebrity in my last 15 years, certainly, to get them to use their celebrity for social and political causes that matter in their communities, and I've been very fortunate that so many have done so much good work.
Back in those days, you weren't producing the music, you weren't making the music, but what was your talent? You had an ability to see these guys and know how good they were?
No, I produced Run-DMC. I produced some early records, lots of records early on, but it was just a lack of, you know, we made records that didn't sound like anything else at the time.
Right.
And I don't mean just because they rapped. I mean, musically, I produced records that sounded dramatically different from what was on the radio.
Right.
And I kind of, there was a tone that need to be set. And then the really creative guys came along and took over. But records like Suck MC I made, or It's Like That, or Rock Box, or Walk This Way, I made different sounding records.
Right. And how did
pop?
But it was hard, because I remember you write in this book, and you've written about it before, that at the time people were listening to funk, people were listening to R&B. Nobody wanted this stuff. How did you?
I don't think I have any good experiences where people wanted what I was doing. I had that experience forever. I wouldn't want these black comedians to curse, Jamie Foxx and Cedric and Bernie Mac and, you know, Chris Tucker. And these guys were nowhere, and HBO didn't want them. Nobody wanted a reverend and 5A students on MTV. That was a weird thing.
You have your own reality show. Your brother, Rev Run, who has been on our show, has his own reality show. Do you ever get competitive about that?
Well, my ex-wife has a show that just started again.
That's true.
Season.
Kimora Lee Simmons, yes.
And my niece has had a reality show, too. So we've all had shows, and we've all been on each other's shows many times, and we kind of, you know, just cheer each other on. I don't think there's a competitive bone in any of our body in that regard.
It saves time. Instead of calling up your relatives to see how they're doing, you just turn on the Oxygen Network and watch their show, I guess. Well, we are delighted to have you with us today, Russell Simmons, and we have invited you here not just to talk, but to also to play a game. Today, we are calling this game...
Let's Say Farewell to Fat.
Now, since you are an important cultural figure who has the well-being of America as his goal, we thought we'd ask you about another such person, weight loss guru Richard Simmons.
As I told you how many times that I've been called Richard Simmons in airport.
Really? You guys get mistaken for each other?
Oh, my God, honey, come here. Come, look at this. Oh, my God, he's here. Look, honey, it's Richard Simmons. I get that all the time.
I think that's more...
I've never met him. It's amazing. Many times I've been called his name.
Right.
And I wonder if he's ever been called my name.
You guys should do a reality show together.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
The Simmonses. Yeah. Well, if you answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly about Richard Simmons, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carol's voice on their home answering machine. Corva, who is Russell Simmons playing for?
Michelle Sherry Cruss of Lake Oswego, Oregon.
Now, I just want to point out that when your brother, Rev Ron, was on the show, he got 0 for 3.
Oh.
Just laying that down as a marker. So,
okay.
Ready to try
Here's
this?
My question.
Here's your first question. Your first
Let's
question
go.
Is, Richard Simmons has dabbled in a lot of businesses, including which of these products? A, the Richard Simmons Home Dentistry Kit, B, Richard Simmons Salad Spray, or Richard Simmons White Man's Afro Sculptor?
Well, it has to be number 2. I think B.
You think the salad spray? You're a businessman.
Yeah, I'm right about that.
You are absolutely right about that, the salad spray.
By the way, that was so simple. Anybody can figure that out. Give me the next one.
All right. Oh, wow. You're the one. Well, the idea was that, you know, you'd spray your salad rather than douse it in oil. Did you ever yourself get into food products? That seems like is that a business you've gotten into amongst your many?
No, I have not, but I am on a green juice fast. I haven't had any solid food since January 1st.
Since January 1st? How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm in a restaurant now with a green juice watching everybody eat.
Is that tough sometimes?
Well, it's tough as relative. What's the next question?
He wants to win. All right. Another of Richard Simmons' enthusiasm is dolls, and he sells a line of them on his website. Among the custom-made Richard Simmons dolls you can buy on Richard Simmons' website is A, Roku the Diet Ninja, B, Jake the Undertaker, or C, Bobby the Personal Stylist.
Bobby the Personal Stylist.
You think so?
I think so.
That's actually Jake the Undertaker. It is. Apparently, Simmons has created dolls representing this family in a small town. There's Norman, Norman's unmarried sister, Miss B, and Aunt Della May, as well their brother, Jake, the Undertaker.
All right, I can still get a 66 and 65
you can do this.
Passing when I went to school.
Yeah,
Give me one more shot. Two
out of three wins on this game, so you can
Thank
still
God
do it.
You're not competitive. Yeah. That could be a problem.
All right. Here we go. Richard Simmons has dabbled in acting, including which of these roles? A, The Spirit of Christmas Yet to Come in a stage version of A Christmas Carol. B, Assassin Number 2 in the 80s action movie Blue Steel. C, an obese extra in Fellini's Satyricon.
I would guess A, but...
Yeah, I don't know about A. I mean, The Spirit of Christmas Yet to Come, he's a sinister figure, he never speaks, he's very still. It's hard to imagine Richard Simmons in that. Just saying.
Oh, I feel like I think it was A.
That's commitment.
You're going to go with A, even though I suggested that's probably not the right choice? You're just going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, who am I to gainsay Russell Simmons? I want that to be true. But no, the answer is C, an obese extra in Fellini's Satyricon.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. The story is that Simmons was quite obese back in the 60s, and he went to Rome as a student and was picked as an extra for the famous film about ancient Roman excess. Corva, how did Russell Simmons do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Russell got one out of three answers correct. He did not win the prize for Michelle Sherry Cross.
Oh, no.
But you did get one more than your brother, which I'm sure is important the next time you see him.
One more than my brother. All right. Well, I wasn't competitive. With him.
Right. I understand. I got to ask you something. You've done so many things. Has anybody ever come to you with an idea that you've said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
I don't know, four or five times a day.
Really? Russell Simmons is the founder of Def Jam Records and the author of the book Super Rich. Russell Simmons, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
In just a minute, Corva rubs her lamp till a genie comes out and grants her three rhymes in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, though, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, for the first time ever, a real scientific journal will publish a paper suggesting evidence for ESP. In the study described, test subjects were able to predict where a picture would appear. But it only worked if the pictures were what?
Of themselves.
No. Or I hope not.
Pictures of somebody they wanted to have sex with.
Well, I'll give it to you. They are, in fact, erotic pictures.
Right.
Only works sexy dirty pictures. Yeah, sexy pictures. Okay. Like I said, this study was conducted by a very respected psychologist. And like I said, the subjects were able to predict where the picture would appear more often than random chance to dictate, but only if the pictures were erotic. This study has drawn a lot of criticism. Some say it's unscientific. Some say its methods were wrong. Others say it does not take ESP to predict that if you turn on a computer screen, sooner or later, a dirty picture will appear on it. The real question, though, about the study is if this is true, if this effect happened, isn't it kind of a letdown? I mean, we thought ESP would mean reading people's minds or moving objects with pure thought. It's like, now behold, as I predict where the naked picture will appear 53% of the time.
And are they predicting at that point, or is it wishful thinking? Like,
oh, I hope it's there. I hope
it's
there.
Come on, be naked. Be naked. Right there. Be naked. I'll try again. Next question. Naked. Next picture. Naked.
And that just...
Naked. Got it.
That just encourages you guys. Yeah.
Amy, the president's health care bill remains unpopular despite many of its individual provisions being popular, and now the Republicans are going to try to repeal it. According to the Wall Street Journal, though, the big problem with the bill is not anything it actually does, but what?
Is it something it doesn't cover?
No, it's nothing substantive. It's something else about it. I'll give you a hint. For example, okay. The initials don't even spell anything cool. That's a problem.
Oh, it's a bill without an acronym. It's a...
Yeah, it's a bill without a...
A good nickname.
A good name. It doesn't have a good name. This is exactly true.
Title.
The title. Okay. But wait. I mean, what other bills have good names?
Well, for example, legislators have gotten very good at giving bills attractive names. For example, who's going to vote against the Patriot Act?
That's
who,
true.
Who wants to leave a child behind? Nobody, right?
Or no. Star Wars.
Exactly.
They need a hook.
Yeah. But according to Jess Braven of the Wall Street Journal, the Democrats blew this with this thing. They compromised on all their ideas. They called the bill the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. Wake up. You can wake up now. I'm done saying it. Really.
Right.
Yeah. Needs a better title.
No,
like,
you need...
Like Die Hard.
Oh, Die Harder.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Die Harder.
Don't Die Hard.
How about...
Die Hard, yeah.
How about... Die Hard.
Staying Alive. Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
Staying
nice.
Alive. That would work.
Perfect.
Now, the Republicans were good at this. They're calling their bill to repeal the Health Care Act, they're calling it the Repealing the Job-Killing Health Care Law Act. That replaced their first idea, the Act. It's just a growl. That's all you really need. Mo, this week's Britain's Telegraph newspaper reported on a warning of sorts from Pope Benedict. During a mass last weekend, the pontiff told Catholic parents to think carefully before giving their kids what?
Cell phones, televisions. You got to give me.
It's something you give your child once.
A tattoo? No. Very unconventional parents. No. Is it a circumcision?
No.
It's something you only get once. Oh, name.
Right. Thank you.
Hilarious.
He doesn't want people to give their kids any more silly names. It's a Catholic tradition to name a child after a saint. Giuseppe after St. Joseph. Silvio after the patron saint of underage blondes. But more and more Italians are following the lead of celebrities and are naming their kids after things like fruit or restaurants or hip New York boroughs. The former editor of the Catholic Herald warns, to deprive our children of a protecting saint is to rob them of something significant. We think of a better solution. Start naming new saints. Saint Kate Gosselin. Saint Bieber.
If they want the kids to have a boring name, just have Congress name them.
That's true. Have the Democrats in Congress name them.
Name them. Yeah, like, they're all bills, and then it just goes from
there.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Korea.
Tarp.
But wait a minute. His name is Benedict. That's not. I mean, he's named after an egg thing.
He's named after a traitor.
Wow.
Really? You think that his parents named Benedict after...
after an
I'm
egg
sure they were
dish.
Having it. They're like, hey, we should name our... we should name our son...
After this delicious
egg. Very good. It's either that or scramble. It's either Benedict or scramble. One of the two.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. and our upcoming shows in Miami, February 3rd and 4th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is John from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
Hey, how are things in Nebraska?
Cold.
Yeah. we complain here in Chicago, but we are as of nothing compared to you in Nebraska. What do you do there?
I work in mortgage banking customer service.
Really?
Yes.
So you're dealing with people with mortgages. That can't be fun these days.
No, it's not.
But living in beautiful Nebraska helps in the winter.
Sure.
Yep. John, welcome to the show. Corva Coleman, filling in for Carl, is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Here is your first limerick.
As we ants chew our way through the briar, worn pincers are what we acquire. Too soon comes the day for our 401k. Old ants are then forced to...
I have no clue. Sorry.
We'll hear it again. Here we go.
As we ants chew our way through the briar, worn pincers are what we acquire. Too soon comes the day for our 401k. Old ants are then forced to...
Expire?
No. That would be cruel. And it does rhyme. I don't want to give you points for that. No. 401k is a clue.
How about expire?
No.
Sorry.
It's retire. Retire,
oh,
of course.
Retire.
Yeah. Amazing breakthrough in the field of ant science this week. Researchers in Oregon have discovered that elderly ants retire from their jobs. This is because, you know, like the rest of us, the mandibles wear out. You can't cut the leaves you used to be able to cut. Lead scientist Dr. Robert Schofield says he was inspired to conduct the study on retired ants when he was walking through his yard and he crushed a tiny, slow-moving RV.
It couldn't make a left?
Yeah, with a blinker on. All right, you still have two more chances. Let's see how you do. Here is your next limerick.
I save cash when my items are scanned, but I'm hurting my ego's demand. They might taste the same, but they lack a big name. I feel bad when I buy the store...
Brand?
Yes! You might feel pretty low when you put back those Cheerios and grab the Circle Oats. You're not alone, though. According to the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, people feel their worst when buying generic brands. Could be because we put a lot of stock in our ability to afford name brands, or it might be the names themselves of the generics. Instead of Coke, it's Cry for Help Cola. Instead of Kellogg's Corn Flakes, it's Costco's Sad Bastard Flakes.
Oh my God. Instead of Scott's brand toilet paper, it's ouch, ouch.
Lonely wipes. All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
Though I flinch when the needles go in, I'm relieved when I see tighter skin. Though now I have jowls like some barnyard fowl, I'm shrinking the cells in my...
skin.
You know, skin is one of the words in it. It rhymes with skin. Jowls.
In my chin.
Yes! Very good. Have you ever looked at a movie star and thought, wow, her chin is so skinny. I'd love to have a chin as skinny as hers. Well, now you can. Drug company Bayer has developed a drug to rid you of your double chin. The, quote, safe and tolerable procedure gets rid of your chin wobble through a series of 40 to 70 mini injections that dissolves it all away. Your friends will be saying, gosh, other than the horrible scars left by 70 injections, her chin looks fabulous. Corv, how did John do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, John got two right, so he's going to win the prize, Carl Castle's voice on his answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations. Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you very much. Bye.
I swear by the hair on my chinny chin chin, I'm gonna find a way to get in. I'm gonna keep hanging around till I huff and puff and blow your little house down.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Korva, can you give us the scores?
Peter, Mo is in the lead with 3 points. Wow. Amy and Maz are tied for second place with 2 points each.
All right. Well, we have flipped a coin. Maz is elected to go first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Monday, a judge sentenced former House Majority Leader blank to 3 years in prison.
Delay.
Right. Former Godfather Pizza CEO Herman Cain announced he may seek the GOP nomination for blank in 2012.
Presidents.
Right. Unable to compete with Facebook on Tuesday, rival social network blank laid off half of its employees.
MySpace.
Right. To cover a budget shortfall, Illinois legislators voted to increase the state blank tax by 66%.
Cigarette tax.
No, income tax.
Income
Yay,
tax,
a Montana
right.
man with outstanding arrest warrants gave police a fake name during a traffic stop, but he was arrested anyway because blank.
He gave a criminal name.
Yeah, the fake name was a real person also wanted by police. F. Lee Bailey released a new document that says he can prove once and for all that blank did not kill his wife, Nicole Brown.
OJ.
Right. In an announcement at the Detroit Auto Show, the title of North American Car of the Year was awarded to Chevy's electric car, the blank.
Electra?
No, the Volt.
Oh.
A man in Taiwan sued his neighbors claiming that he had suffered emotional stress and injuries because blank.
Because he hates Taiwan.
Because their bird insulted him. Wang Han Chin had complained about his noisy neighbors when their minor bird started screaming that he was, quote, a clueless, big-mouthed idiot. Whenever he left the house, he knew it was no accident. Police declined to prosecute, in part because his accusations couldn't be proven, and in part because further investigation revealed that Wang was, in fact, a clueless, big-mouthed idiot. Korva, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Well, Maz got 5 correct answers, Peter, for 10 more points. He has 12 points now, and he is in the lead.
Well done.
Not for long.
All right, Amy, you are up next. Fill in the blank. This week, soldiers and leaders in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan got an unannounced visit from blank.
Gates.
No, Joe Biden. Literally. On Tuesday, the Arizona legislature unanimously passed a bill to prevent blanks from being disrupted by protesters.
Funerals.
Right. La Nina is being blamed for the inland tsunami and intense flooding currently hitting cities in inland blank.
Australia.
Right. In a letter to supporters, Texas Senator blank announced she would not run for re-election in 2012.
K. Bailey Hutchinson?
Yeah, no. K. Bailey Hutchinson. Okay. A vulture captured in Saudi Arabia last week will be released now that authorities have determined it is not blank.
Carrying a weapon.
It's not an Israeli spy. New financial backers agreed this week to finance Hugh Hefner's plans to take blank private.
Playboy?
Right. Instead of their annual interview with the Newbery and Caldecott Award winners, the Today Show featured Jersey Shore author blank.
Snooki?
Right. A new study shows that you can improve your driving by blanking.
You can improve your driving by staying toward the center of the road.
No, you can improve your driving by talking on your cell phone.
Oh.
Research from the University of Chicago and the London School of Economics suggests drivers are more likely to slow down and stay alert if they are on the phone. Hmm. Turns out cell phones make everything safer. Football players talking on their cell phones are less likely to get tackled. And if you talk in a cell phone during sex, you cannot get pregnant. Korva, how did Amy do on her quiz?
Amy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and she is tied with Maz for the lead.
All right.
Oh,
so how many then? How many then does Mo need to take it?
Mo needs 5 more correct answers to win
All
the
right.
game.
Here we go, Mo. This is up for the game. The Justice Department subpoenaed Twitter this week for information related to blank.
Related to Homeland Security.
No, it's related to WikiLeaks.
Oh, my goodness.
The European Union and China turned down invitations to tour the nuclear facilities in blank.
In Iran?
Right. On Thursday, a tanker transporting 2,400 tons of acid capsized in the Rhine in blank.
Well, the Rhine is in Germany.
It is. On Tuesday, new Supreme Court Justice blank delivered her first judicial opinion.
Oh, the woman who looks like Rachel Dratch. It's Supreme Court Justice... Supreme Court Justice Lori Klein, that's the girl she looks like that I went to junior high with. I'm sorry.
It's Elena Kagan.
Oh, my goodness.
A judge in California ruled that Conrad Murray, the doctor for blank, will be tried for involuntary manslaughter.
Michael Jackson.
Right, in a blow to preteens everywhere, the final episode of the Miley Cyrus show blank aired over the weekend.
Hannah Montana.
Right, police in England raided a garage suspected of housing a notorious drug den, but instead discovered it housed blank.
A lion den.
Close. Guinea pigs.
Oh.
Police helicopters noticed hot spots in Pamela Hardcastle's garage that could only mean one thing: marijuana growing. They promptly raided the home, only to find Kenny and Simon, two extremely freaked out guinea pigs, basking in the warmth of their personal heat lamps. Corva, did Mo do well enough to win?
Well, Mo needed five correct answers to win. He had four.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Can the Supreme Court help me out?
So that means Amy and Maz are this week's co-winners.
Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what we will find when all that snow melts. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. Progressive Insurance and more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information is available at progressive.com. And the Langelhoff Foundation, supporting innovation and physical and emotional healing for underserved populations at langelhoff.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. We welcome our new intern, Nick Park. Engineers include Lester Larchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what has been hiding under all that snow? Mo Rocca.
All the political moderates.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, when it melts this spring, they're going to find my MySpace page
there
somewhere.
And Maz Jobrani.
John Boehner buried underneath helping the snow melt away with his tears.
His hot, salty tears.
And if any of that turns up, panel, we will ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Corva Coleman. Thanks also to Maz Jobrani, Amy Dickinson, and Mo Rocca. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll be back with Carl Castle next week. This is NPR.